Now let us all seek the Lord once again before we come to the preaching of God's Word. Our Heavenly Father and gracious God, we come before Thee once again. And O Lord, we have been singing of this question, what think ye of Christ? Lord, we give Thee thanks that many of us can say we think of Him as Savior, as our Lord, as the one who gave His blood for us. But Lord, there are those yet who have not found Him. There are yet those who are cold towards Him. They don't know fully what they could answer. Lord, we pray that they might come to a clear answer about this matter. Lord, help them in the preaching of Thy Word. But Lord, in the hearing of it, we pray that Thou would speak with a voice that raises the dead and cause sinners to live. Cause people to come to that knowledge of being forgiven of all their sins. We ask that Thou wouldst then bless us. Through Christ our Savior we pray. Amen. Amen. Let us turn our Bibles, please, to that portion of God's Word in Matthew 27. Matthew 27. And I ask you this, can you imagine the scene that is described here? Our Lord Jesus Christ standing before that man, the governor, the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. And then behind him is that howling mob of people. What a noise. What strong feelings there were that day. What tumult. There was only one person who was calm, it seems. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one person who was not defending himself. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you be calm when everyone is against you? Naturally, we can't. The peace that a sinner needs comes from this peaceful Savior. And so he is put on a trial, a very mock trial. He is put on trial, but actually it is them who are on trial. It was always like that. It is always like that, even today. Once there was, when you read the Gospels, once they sent these officers to arrest him, but the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who arrested them. And so we read in the Scriptures, in John 7, verse 46, that the officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." They were arrested by the words of the Lord Jesus. When his enemies came to arrest him in the garden, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, "I am." And they fell to the ground. Friends, Pilate did not know it. This man did not know it, but he himself was on a trial. And as he confronted this strange and silent but almighty prisoner, he gave expression to what I call the greatest, most important question in the world that could be asked. In verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" What a question! Is your answer, is your response for or against this morning? I'm asking you. I'm not asking Pilate. I'm not asking what those people did. I'm asking you, is your answer for or against this? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What is your heart answer? It is impossible to do nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to respond for Christ is an answer against the Lord Jesus. But decide you must. You must make a decision about this. You must come to an understanding about this. And that response settles forever every man's destiny in time and in eternity. Oh, the dilemma that Pilate faced is the dilemma that every person faces. Every person who hears the gospel is facing this dilemma. You are facing that dilemma. You who are not converted yet, you're facing that dilemma. Those of you who were converted before, you did face that dilemma. What would I do with the Lord Jesus? And turning this into a question that God would ask you, God says to you, I gave my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for sinners like you. What are you going to do with him? What are you going to do with my Son? What are you going to do with this gospel? And everything, yes, everything in this world and the next depends on this. From our point of view, from man's point of view, from earth's point of view. And no wonder it is one of the greatest questions in the world to you. What will you do with Jesus Christ? What will you ask yourself? Ask yourself this question this morning, friends. It is that important. And it is the greatest question because of a number of reasons. Three reasons. One of the reasons is because we are dealing with the greatest person that you can ever know. The second reason that this is a very important question, the greatest question that you can be asked, is that it answers the eternal issues. The Lord Jesus Christ answers the eternal issues of your life. No one else can answer that. And thirdly, the answer that you give will be the greatest response of your life. So think about these things. Reason number one, that this is one of the greatest and most important questions that could be asked of you, is because Jesus Christ is the greatest person we can ever know. That's the thing. So look at verse 22 again. Pilate says, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And think about who Jesus Christ is. He's the greatest person who has ever been born in this world, the Son of God. Nearly 2,000 years after the Lord Jesus Christ walked on earth, he is still the center of attraction. He's still being preached. Some love him. Many others hate him. On radio, on television, in the media, in schools, in universities, in magazines, in the workplace, in the playgrounds, in parks, in the streets, what do we hear? His name is being blasphemed. His name is taken in vain, even ridiculed by many. Yet in all the history, Jesus Christ is unique. He towers above those who wanted to and want to trample him. His Bible is still here. Has not changed. His word is still the same. And this word of the gospel transforms sinners now, today. What shall I do with Christ? What shall I do with the Lord Jesus Christ? What must your answer be? Why should everybody be answering this question? What is it about the Lord Jesus Christ that lays such a claim on every heart? Well, the Bible clearly indicates that Jesus Christ is fully God. He spoke and said that I and the Father are one. The Bible refers to him as Emmanuel, God with us. And since the Lord Jesus Christ is God, everyone is obligated to respond to him. You and I are obligated to respond. We must respond to our Maker. He is the greatest person, friends, that you can ever know. And do you notice there are things that Pilate says in this, without realizing what he was saying, he says some things that tells us about the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just point out two of those things that Pilate relates to us. One of the things that Pilate says is of the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he's so great, because of the mission. And it's expressed in the very name of the Lord, Jesus. Jesus. That's his mission. It's described in his name.
What does the name Jesus mean?
It means Savior.
Savior. This is his mission, to save. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, the scripture says in Matthew 1. What shall I do then with Jesus? What shall I do then with the one whose name means Savior? What shall I do with the Savior? Oh, do you believe, my friends, in his mission? In his saving mission? In the purpose of his coming? Why did he come for? He came to deal with sin. He came to put away sin. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, the scripture says. Have you ever acknowledged that he purposed to come for someone like you? Have you ever acknowledged before God that you are a sinner? You're a lawbreaker. You're a rebel in God's sight. And think about it. How many times you have broken God's law, God's word? You've been careless about spiritual things. You think it is not as important, maybe. How many times have you sinned against God? In your thoughts, the things that went through your mind, in the things that you said, and you regret. How many times did you say, sorry, I apologize? In the past week. Boys and girls, how many times did you offend your parents and dishonored your parents in the past week? How many times did you hit someone or said something harsh to someone? All of these things tells you that you're a sinner and you need the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, this message is about the fact that you need a Savior. You don't need a church to save you. You don't need some sort of a ordinance of baptism or the Lord's Supper to save you. You don't need some sort of a system of belief to save you. You need a Savior to save you, or you will go to hell with all of your baptisms, with all your Lord's Suppers, with all the church, with all the things that you might be doing through the year. Do you know what you need today? If you are a lost person, you might be an adult, you might be a young person, but if you are lost, do you know what you need today? You need a Savior. What shall I do with the Savior? That's the question to you. What will you do with the Savior? And then another thing to think about is great because he's the Savior, but he's also great. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest person you can ever know is because that he is the appointed Savior. He's the appointed and he's the anointed Savior. He's the only Savior. There's nobody else like him. And that is expressed in the words of Pilate when he refers to the Lord Jesus as the Christ. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Christ is the Greek word, which is in the Hebrew, it's the Messiah. It means what? It means the anointed one. That the Lord Jesus Christ is the anointed one. The one who's been set apart by God to be the Savior. He's the only Savior God has chosen. There's no other way around it. What shall I do then with the one who is anointed and appointed and chosen by God to be the only Savior? Oh, friends, God has appointed no one else. Did you know that? There is no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. He spoke of this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What shall I do with the Savior? The chosen Savior. Are you looking for something else, friends? People say to you, if you want pleasure, if you want satisfaction, if you want peace, you do this, you do that. And so people provide you with some form of system of religion. The earth is full of it. They say, well, follow this religion. Hopefully you will be forgiven. Go to the Pope, go to the Mass, go to a priest, go to a pastor, go to an evangelical church, go to this person to pray for you, or some earthly guru, some psychologist, some counselor, or who can comfort your soul about sin. Or people say, well, go to these people who will just empty your mind. That's what you need. You need yoga. You need this. You need that.
That's what they would say to you.
Friends, there is only one person who can forgive you your sins, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why he's called Jesus, the Savior, Christ, the chosen one, the appointed one, the anointed one. What shall I do with this chosen one of God, the Savior? You must do something about it. What will it be, friends? What will it be, boys and girls, this morning? What will it be, young adults? Those who you say you are seeking. What are you going to do about it this morning? Do you know Christ? I'm not asking you if you know something about the Lord Jesus Christ intellectually, mentally, in a mental way, not in a way that you might say, well, here are the facts, I believe these facts, and I agree, I believe these things to be true, I believe the Bible. Let me put it this way. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Jesus Christ as the one who has dealt with your sin, your personal sin, with the sin question of your life? Do you know Him in a saving, personal way? That's the thing. That's why this question is so important and so great. And that's why the reason is because Jesus Christ is the greatest person that you can ever know. The second reason is this. Jesus Christ answers the eternal issues of your life. The Lord Jesus Christ answers the eternal issues of your life. We will face no greater issue on earth than this issue. What shall I do with Jesus Christ? Now, Pilate would rather not have had any dealings with this whole issue. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. But here we see, despite himself, he's forced to face eternal issues. He must respond personally, as you and I must respond personally of the facts. He knew that Jesus Christ, what he had been doing. He knew the facts about it, but now he's faced with him face to face. He knew what he was going about preaching in the country and what he was doing. But information about the Lord Jesus Christ is one thing. Confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ is another thing. Pilate was now confronted with the Savior, faced with this issue of what he would do with Christ. You see this? This is a personal issue of the soul. It's a personal issue of the soul. What shall I do with Jesus? Ask yourself, what shall I do? Whatever your name is, put your name there and say, what shall I do with Jesus Christ? Pilate was the only one who could answer this question himself. How tragic that after asking the right question, he chose the wrong response. That is sad. For we delivered in verse 26, he delivered him to be crucified. That was his response. And do you know something? We are told that within 7 years of this deed, within 7 years of crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ, he was a broken, destitute man. That's what the history books will tell us. The historians would tell you. He was removed from his office by the governor of Syria. He was alone. Caesar did not want him. He was unwanted of Caesar. He was most depressed. And so Pilate, we are told, he went into the darkness of the night and hanged himself. That's what he did. His body was found later by a workman. You see, he met the Savior and refused to trust him. And now he is in darkness. Awful darkness. So friends, do you realize that this is a very personal thing? You're not here just to be a hearer. You're facing with Jesus Christ this morning. It's not hearing a sermon, another sermon. You're facing with Christ. You're being confronted. It is a confrontational message with you, personally. That's a good thing to be confronted. It's the best person who is confronting you. It's Jesus Christ. The Savior is confronting you. It's the one who loves sinners who is confronting you this morning. And who can answer this question, what shall I do What must I do with the Lord Jesus Christ?
You are the only one who can answer that. What is going to be your verdict?
What will you do? Not what did Pilate do. It's an interesting account to read what he did, what others did, or what somebody else that you know has done with the Lord Jesus Christ. The issue is, what will you do with Jesus Christ?
You see, friends, you need him. You need him in this life. You need him in death. You need him in eternity. You need him in this life. For life is both haphazard and dangerous without Jesus Christ.
From your point of view, you're stumbling from this to that. What will you do without Jesus Christ in this life?
Alone. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver us from past sins.
We need him to deliver us from present temptations. We need him to deliver us from the enticements of the future. We need him to be our Savior all through our lives.
But then in your death, what will you do?
You know, when the final curtain will fall and will close
in your life, when you die, all of us will die one day. Someone said this and my heart sank when I read this. Someone said, and I paraphrased, they said that maybe even now the trees that will make your coffin have been felled. And you don't know that, do you?
The tree that would make the coffin that you will be put, your body will be put and placed into the ground, maybe already it has been felled and it is being prepared. You don't know.
One professor, a Christian professor, Werner Wright, he's died now, gone to be with the Lord. He was a professor at Leeds University. He was once asked on television, because he spoke strongly for Christianity and for the creation account of the Bible. As a scientist, people were intrigued. They thought, how could a scientist not be an evolutionist? And so he was interviewed on the television. And in the interview, he said, what does Christianity offer which nothing else offers? And this was his simple reply. He said, comfort for a dying man. Comfort for a dying man. What is your hope? What is your comfort in life and in death? Is he with you now? Will he be with you when you are passing through the valley of the shadow of death? Will you then fear no evil? Because he is with you. And then think of eternity. For there's life after death, and both heaven and hell are taught in the Bible. What shall you do then with the Lord Jesus Christ? What will you do? It's a personal issue. But also it is an inescapable issue. It is inescapable. For you cannot pass it to someone else. Is this what you've been doing? Maybe. Some of you here, I know the majority here, you profess to be a child of God. But I'm talking specifically with those of you who are yet unconverted. You can't escape it. Some of you, you know, you will be coming to church again and again and again. You know these things are true, but and you will come and you will not escape it. It will be brought before you. But what will you do? You cannot escape it.
Now some people say, well, I'll let someone else decide this. You pass the question on to someone else. Well, let my wife decide. Let my husband decide. Let my children decide. But I'm not deciding. I'm not thinking about this. It's something for my father and my mother. They are religious. They are Christians. But I won't take it for myself. This is exactly what Pilate tried to do. But he couldn't escape it. He sought to evade it. He sought to get away from it, to avoid it. He tried to dodge the issue. And when the Jews first brought the Lord Jesus Christ to him, he said, take ye him. You take him. You judge him according to your law, he says. I'm not a Jew. You are a Jew. He's a Jew. You deal with it. In other words, he said, case is dismissed. This is a religious issue, and I am not interested in religious issues. I'm a governor. I am to judge other things, important things for the nation. Pilate yet simply did not want to get involved. He sought to evade the issue. Is this what you're trying to do? Friends, I'm talking to you. Is this what you're trying to do? Like Pilate, have you heard about the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ? And you read it in the scriptures, but then you've seen it in people's lives. How some people have been converted. People have been saved. You said to people, will you pray for me about this matter? And you thought it's impossible. And people prayed for you. And the Lord answered. And you've seen miracles take place in your life. Things that you thought will not be happening, they are happening now. Lives have been transformed. Have you heard about the change that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought about in nations in the past? You read church history and you find revivals taking place. Even in this country, you read about the life of George Whitefield, the Gloucestershire man, who went about preaching and thousands were converted. People's lives were transformed. This is not a story, my friends, we are talking about. It's not some make-believe thing. But you hear these things, and you're amazed at them. Would you even go as far as to acknowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ is faultless, is innocent? But that's as far as it goes. This issue concerning what you will do with the Lord Jesus Christ must be evaded by some of you at all costs, you think. But this question is inescapable. You can never get away from it. It comes back haunting you. It's haunting Pilate right now in hell. What shall I do? What did I do with Jesus Christ? Do you recall Pilate, how he dismissed the issue? He sent the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read the Gospels, you will see he dismissed him. He sent him away. He discovered that the Lord Jesus came from that region of Galilee. And so joyfully he said, well, that's not my part of the country. That's for Herod to do. So he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to Herod. And that's what we read in Luke 23 and verse 7. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. But it didn't work, did it? Sure, Herod had to also face the Lord Jesus Christ, as every one of us must. But soon Christ came back. You can see Pilate, can't you? He's retired from his judgment seat. He's gone to his room. He's gone to rest, maybe. And then soon there's a knock on his door saying, Jesus Christ is back again. He's back for judgment. Back with a bloodthirsty mob behind him, calling for his blood. And you see, you may seek to absorb yourself in some things just to ignore what is you are being challenged about, what you are being confronted about. And you immerse yourself in your work, in your business. You might immerse yourself in exams, doing your studies. And a lot of these things are good things. But you have an imbalanced view of things. You are trying to get away from this claim of the gospel upon you. You get involved in some sinful behavior, some temptations. You just get involved with life in general, trying to forget things. But this pressing question comes back to you. What shall I do with Jesus? Some of you saying, well, I'll wait to see what Herod will do with Christ, like Pilate. I'll wait to see what others will do. I will wait to see what happens later on. I will wait to see what my husband will do, what my wife will do. I'll wait to see what my friend will do with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll wait to see what my brothers and sisters will do. The more you seek to avoid Jesus, the more you seek to evade the Lord Jesus Christ, this issue, the more it bounces back at you. What shall I do with Jesus Christ? Pilate said, I will make a deal with them because it's the Passover. He had this notorious criminal that we read of, Barabbas, whose hand was stained with blood. And Pilate said at that time, whom will ye that I release unto you? Which one of these two? Jesus Christ or Barabbas? And the response comes back. They cry out, we want Barabbas. We don't want Jesus Christ. We want Barabbas. And the issue comes back to him. It bounces back again. He had hoped they won't want the murderer, a criminal like Barabbas. He thought that at least they would have this man who didn't do anyone harm but blessed others. He thought they would ask for Jesus. But no. Friends, this issue was back with Pilate. It's inescapable. You can't run from this. What shall I do with Jesus? Oh, my friends, you will never get away from this question. No matter how long you live, this question has to be answered by you. You will be answering it today. You'll be answering it tomorrow. Every day of your life, you will be answering this question. Because this is personal. Because this is inescapable. And it is important as well. It's an important issue. For what you do with Jesus Christ before you die settles forever every man's destiny for heaven or hell. It will settle your destiny for eternity. Do you realize, my friends, your eternal destiny depends upon what you do with Jesus Christ from a human perspective, from your point of view, I'm talking about. If you leave Christ out of your life, you will spend your life in hell, and it will not be spent. You will be in hell forever and ever. It's a serious thing. You take Jesus Christ by faith and repent of your sins. You take Him only as your Savior, as your only Savior, and then you spend eternity in heaven because your sins are forgiven, are pardoned, because you're taking Him and the knowledge of what He did on the cross for sinners like you. He paid the price of sin. Perhaps you are saying, I will neither accept the Lord Jesus or I won't reject Him either. I'm doing nothing about it. Do I need to answer this question? Yes, you have to. Friends, there is no neutral ground here. If you are not for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus said you're already against Him. There's a meeting I read of that on every seat there was a card left. There's a card with some words on each side. On one side of this card, it said, "What must I do to be saved?" And the answer given, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." On the other side of the card, it said, "What must I do to be lost?" The answer was nothing. Nothing. So you want to be lost, do nothing about it. Continue to go in and out. Continue to live your life and do nothing about the Lord Jesus and you will be lost. Leave Christ out of your life and you will be lost forever. And very quickly, finally, you must give the greatest response of your life. This is the greatest response of your life. That's the third reason why this is such a great and important question to be asked. What will your answer be? What will you do with Jesus Christ? What is the greatest response that you can ever make, humanly speaking? The best response is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved from sin, from the consequences of sin. What sin has brought about? Spiritual death. What a great response would be to trust in Him. Trusting Him now, and that will last for that great eternity. Now, what are your options? Well, you can hate the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Jewish leaders did. You can reject the Lord Jesus Christ, as that fickle crowd did. You can mock the Lord Jesus Christ, as Herod did. You can then try to get rid of and avoid the Lord Jesus Christ, as Pilate did. Or you can trust in Jesus Christ, as many have done throughout the centuries. You can trust Him, as that dying thief trusted in Him. And in this passage, there are voices, sounds that you hear that encourages you to trust in the Lord Jesus. This is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You know, the Lord Jesus witnessed a good report, a good confession before Pontius Pilate. He spoke to Pilate. What did Pilate do about this? He did not listen to it. He asked some good questions. What is truth? But he didn't wait for the answer. Oh, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ comes to you. It's sounding in your ears and in your heart, convicting you maybe of some things. The Spirit's Word, the Bible, is speaking to you. The voice of Jesus is sounding out. And the preacher is preaching, and yet Christ is speaking to you. So there's that encouragement. God is still speaking to me. But then there's the voice of your conscience. For Pilate desperately tried to find a way by which to deliver the Lord Jesus Christ, for his conscience told him that this man was innocent. In fact, on three occasions, he put it to the people. He said, I find no fault in this man. I don't find any fault in him. Is your conscience speaking to you this morning? You know it is wrong to reject the Lord Jesus. You know that in your heart, to turn your back on the Son of God. And oh, is your conscience inciting you to trust in the Lord? Why don't you bow the knee? Why don't you die to self and sin and run to Christ? And then there's the voice of Christians. The voice of Christians encouraging you. There's so much for you in the gospel. The voice of Christians. According to ancient history and tradition, the wife of Pilate was called Claudia Procula. And she was converted to Judaism, from her heathenism to Judaism. And then later on, many believe that she became a devout Christian. Do you remember she had that dream? And she knew that Jesus Christ was the Lord and warned Pilate about it. As Pilate was considering this case of the Savior, he received that urgent message. Didn't you read it in verse 19? But when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. How many of you who are yet unconverted, boys and girls, and some of you adults, how many of you have heard your Christian friends, your loved ones, your minister, I've been calling upon you again and again. And it's ringing in your ears. You've heard them mentioning your name in their prayers, praying for you, pleading with you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why won't you trust the Lord Jesus? It is the voice of a mother. It is a voice of a child. It's a voice of a friend. And you remember it, inciting you to come to the Savior. What will you do with Jesus Christ? The only appointed, the only anointed Savior of your soul. Oh, you cannot leave him alone. You cannot wash your hands of this matter. Pilate tried to do that. He called for a bowl of water and washed his hands before a multitude in vain. He tried to attempt to wash away his conscience. But this was an empty thing that he tried to do. No water on earth is able to remove our responsibility or wash away our sins from what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ. An artist has drawn a picture of Pilate in hell, washing his hands and crying out in anguish in hell, Oh, they will never be clean. They will never be clean. My friends, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as Pilate did, you are committing a great sin when it is so freely preached to you. And on that day when you are in torment, you say to yourself, I heard the gospel. I felt that calling of the Lord in the preaching. I read it in His Word. And I put off the matter of my salvation, and now I am forever lost. What will you do, my friends? Your verdict, what will it be? You are on the trial, not Jesus Christ. And what will He do on that final day with you? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday you will be asking, what will he do with me? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we have heard thy word, and we pray by thy Spirit thou wouldst work in our hearts so that we might respond for the Lord Jesus. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.